All right, we're going to start off with a hymn number 202. Turn to hymn number 202, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Thing. The church voted last business meeting to allow the youth to have a youth retreat, and we did. We had kind of in the plans to, it's a D now, disciple now, but they titled it Boot Camp. And we've got the, instead of a title this morning, I've got my dog tags, okay? And it says on here Boot Camp, and the boot is all in capital letters with a period because it's an acrostic and it just means building our own testimonies and for young people to build or strengthen their testimonies. All these people up here that you see successfully went through Promised Land's first ever inaugural boot camp and passed. And they're a little tired, a little sleepy. But so are their leaders and their cell group. I appreciate everyone that's worked so hard in helping us out. Church, thank you for allowing us this change this morning, not only to participate in the worship service, but we had in just a second, we're going to have a handshake in just a second. But Brother Josh Yao, many of you are familiar with our participation with Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Sherwood. He's the associate pastor. He also plays the guitar and sings pretty well. And so he is Brother Glenn Knight's associate pastor and there at Victory in Sherwood. And I found out that an associate pastor does everything the pastor doesn't want to do, so I need to get one. Okay. Need to get an associate. Trey likes to help me out. He's always at the house for some reason, so we need to get him to take that role. And if you're a guest here this morning, I hope you enjoy it. It may not be a change for you. It's a change for everybody else. But just enjoy the service. You enjoy the songs in just a second before I turn it over to Brother Josh. Oh, by the way, remember the offering's going to be at the end. And we've got, this is fifth Sunday, so it's Building Fund Sunday. So after we get all through and after I preach to you for an hour and a half, we'll have those two offerings and then the prayer requests. And I'll let Brother Norman handle the prayer requests and announcements. But y'all settle down back there. The But anyway, I appreciate all of our visitors. The folks from Mississippi, this stands for Promised Land Missionary Baptist Church, and Hatley Missionary Baptist Church from Amory, Mississippi. Some of our good friends we met at church camp, just some great people. Had 130 in Sunday school this morning, and so really excited about that. And so y'all go ahead and be seated. I'll turn it over to Brother Josh.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you. As he said, I come from Victory Missionary Baptist Church. Had a great weekend with these kids, and we're going to lead some worship this morning, and we're going to take all the hard work out for you, because all the words are going to be on the screen. It'll be songs, you know, don't worry about that, but we want you to join in and sing with us this morning. You're going to know this one, but we're going to sing at a different tempo. In blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There you go. An heir of salvation. And born in the Spirit, washed in His blood. On the second. In perfect submission, in perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my side. And angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love. On the chorus. And this is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. On the lines, perfect submission, and all is at rest. And I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness and lost in His love. Just your voices. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are Your tabernacle, and glory to the Lord on high. And God wonders beyond our galaxy, and
You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. So early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. And when I stumbled in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God wonders beyond our galaxy, and you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth,
hallelujah,
and hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth, and hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth, hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Sing God of wonders. And God of wonders beyond our galaxy. And you are holy, holy. Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, and holy, sing holy, and hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth, oh, hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth.
What a wonderful blessing it's been this weekend. We have worked with these kids. We have prayed with these kids. We have cried with these kids. And I just want you to keep praying for them. It's real easy to build our testimony when we're all together. Staying in homes, praying and singing. We played a lot of games. We probably visited a lot of your homes this weekend looking for trash. We had to build things. And we thank you. We thank those. We just can't say thank you enough. And I hope they've learned a lot. We've had cell group leaders that have prepared and prayed. And it's been an awesome weekend. And I want each of them to share just a small part with you. Some are visitors, some you know, of what this weekend meant to them.
I'm Mackenzie. I'm from Hatley Missionary Baptist Church, and I want to say something about my cell group. I came into my cell group not knowing but one person, which was Taylor, and she's not here this morning. And I got to know these people. They're like some of my best friends. I'm glad that I came. I'm glad that I got to experience these bonds with these people through Jesus. And I just loved how you could see the Holy Spirit working last night through the testimonies and things like that, and we just have some bond together that we will not have anywhere else through Jesus.
I'm Zach. I just want to say thank you to Evan and Catherine for letting us stay there. And boot camp was really amazing. I think the first day I did well over 200 push-ups because I couldn't stop laughing. But it was pretty fun. I think the best part of it was this morning waking up to a house full of smoke because Evan had burned all the bacon. Other than that, breakfast was pretty good.
My name's Daniel, and
First, I'd like to say a big thanks to Mr. Randy. He was a great cell group leader, and I was just really surprised when I found out I was in his cell group. And I'd like to thank Brother Mike and Miss Karen for letting me stay in their house, and Brittany for letting me sleep in her bed. And Jason and Ben did a really good job of trying to scare us as the drill sergeant. And it was really hilarious. I did about 35, somewhere in there. But that's all.
My name is Aaron. I'm from North Cross at First Baptist Church. And I've had a good time getting to know these people and having fun worshiping God and just enjoying being here.
I'm Ethan, and I got to be in Brother Jeff's cell group this weekend, and it was really good. And like Brother Michael said, BOOT stands for Building Our Own Testimony. And last night, we got to hear other people's testimony, and it just, you know, kind of hit me, and I just kind of realized some things, and I'm hoping that it hit, you know, it touched some of these other people like it touched me. And I just had a really good time speaking, and I'm really glad that I came.
My name is Randy Catherine. I'm from Hatley, and I just want to say I really enjoyed this weekend. It's kind of like a pre-church camp, just get together, of course, with better food this week, man. And I had a really good host home. Miss Linda Kay and her husband were really generous. Like, she can cook some good breakfast. And Mr. Jeff was awesome at leading us in games. We won both of them. And it was really good. As much fun we had as much serious time also. Last night, we all got together, and a lot of people gave their testimonies, and there was a bunch of tears shed, and we just all kind of grew together, and it was really special. But I just want to thank Promised Land for being so generous, for giving their homes, and letting us come, and just thank y'all.
Promised Land, you've got some really good kids here.
Amen.
They did a great job, and Hatley as well. Let's do a couple more songs. You're going to know these.
And I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. And sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid, and Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. And sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
And when before?
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat.
Jesus paid,
and Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Sin had left.
And sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Oh, he washed it white as snow.
Sing, oh, praise the one.
And oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt
and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's stand for this last song. And I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Let's sing that again. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, and how marvelous, and how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous and how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins, and He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. So I'm singing how marvelous and how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous and how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And when with the ransomed in glory, His face I in last shall see, will be my joy through the ages, to sing of His love for me. Sing it out. So how marvelous and how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous and how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And I'm singing how marvelous and how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous and how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And is my Savior's love for me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You, and we just thank You for the precious blood that You shed
for the new life that you have given to us through your sacrifice. Lord, I pray a blessing on the message that is about to be preached. Lord, I thank you for all who had a part in this weekend. I pray that the things that were heard and that were said would have a lasting impact on the lives of these teenagers. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us where we failed you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Caleb, if you can grab those lights for me. Amen. Quick thinking, Josh. We having sound trouble? Hops up, instant music. All right. Didn't even have to put in a CD. He's going to grab all the other lights for me. I'm going to ask all the pastor pals to come on down right now. And then we'll have I think Hatley Missionary Baptist Church has been here 3 or 4 times. I don't know exactly how many. And I haven't been here every time. I've either been preaching a revival or gone. All right. Okay, everybody help each other out. Some of you have some offering. Drop it in the church there. You are doing good. And watch these cords. People and stuff will go flying everywhere. Okay, here you go. Whoop. There you go. Thank you for holding that, Claire. All right. He wants to do it. Okay. Now, I need to ask you, does anybody in here, I need to ask you to help me out here. Oh, this is perfect. This is perfect. Y'all see, brother, everybody look at me. Everybody look at me if I can have your attention. Everybody see Brother Norman right there? Does anybody, any of y'all know who is Brother Norman married to? The guy with the yellow tie. Who is he married to? Who's his wife? Do y'all know? Her name is Miss Merlin, okay? And, okay, let me ask you this. Does anybody know who my wife is? Okay, Clayton? Miss Karen? That's right. Okay, now, let me ask you this. Why do I have a wife? Wait, this is their time, not y'all's. Why do I have a wife? Does anybody know? Percy, why do I have a wife? Do you know? Why do I have one? Wait, this is their time. I have to corral these, not y'all. Okay. All right. So, well, the Bible says, and this is really true, and I guarantee you, Brother Norman, the Bible says this about this is the first institute or the first thing that God made was Adam. And then he made, who was Adam married to? Who? You can say, who? Yeah, you said it. Eve. He was married to Eve. Adam and Eve. And you know why? The Bible says that God made a help for Adam. He knew he needed some help, okay? And that's exactly what, thank the Lord for my wife, is a help. And matter of fact, it says, then the Bible says, made a help that was meet or applicable, fitting for him. That is really awesome. Because you know who designed marriage? God designed marriage to be between one man and one woman. And it's an awesome institution. I just wanted to talk to you about that moms and dads, and that we need to pray for them. Pray for our moms and dads and our grandparents, because God is the one who designed that. It's pretty awesome. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much that we do have help. Not only can we help each other as friends, but you instituted the very first marriage ever between Adam and Eve, and it was a special design for us to follow. And Father, because of that, we have all these people, young people here today. And I just thank you for them. And Father, bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Miss Michelle, y'all walk. Be careful with the cords and all. Miss Michelle's got it. Whew. And we have another guest besides Brother Josh. And we have Brother Trent Harmon from Amory, Mississippi, Hatley Missionary Baptist Church. And he is going to be bringing our special, and after that, we'll have our message for this morning. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to Brother Trent.
I was telling Brother Michael I had no idea I was singing 15 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
I figured they'd get me to somehow. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather have you, Jesus, than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Thank you, Trent. I'd have sang it just that way too. And Galatians chapter 6, opportunity given to us by God. Brother Trent, and thank you for being so generous with just being asked a few minutes ago. And that I really enjoyed it. I've heard him sing that song at church camp, and I knew what was coming, and I hope you did too. As you get there, I've got to share this with you. Miss Ann gave this to me Wednesday. I have been so excited about, I don't know about what these people are doing over here, the young folks, and I appreciate their hard work, but my class on Wednesday night's awesome. I'm not for me because of y'all. is a bunch been coming, and I appreciate it. Thank you for coming. If you've been missing our Wednesday night class, come. I try to make it something, of course, directly from God's Word, but something that you can use, and I hope you would come and enjoy it. But Miss Ann, and we went 3 Wednesday nights in a row we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5 deal with judging. And we spent 3 Wednesday nights on judging, and that's very common. We all judge. But anyway, I don't get preaching on judging, but so here we go. All right. She gave me this poem, and I'll try to weed it as eloquently as I can. Okay. So who is that? Elmer Fudd? Okay. Best poem in the world. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights of its decor. But it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp. The thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid from 7th grade who swiped my money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud 9 looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. Why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, Jesus said. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd see you. I like that. And we do judge, and that is something that's common to our human nature and our flesh. But we like to pick on, you may not judge out loud, but you like to pick out the faults in others. Matter of fact, most of us have 20/20 vision when we're looking at someone else. Well, we need some serious eyeglasses when we're looking at ourselves. Galatians 6. Let me get on the right page. And it says here in God's Word, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In your outline, I talked about opportunity. That's interesting. We want all of our young people to have opportunity. And, opportunity to go to college. And I was talking to Trent. Erwin, guess what? Trent's coming to UAM in Monticello. That's pretty cool. From Mississippi. We're dragging him over here to Arkansas, the promised land. And Miss Cindy, Trent's mom, was talking about, of course, many of y'all remember her as Cindy Barnes and her dad pastoring over here at Calvary. And she was talking about how great Christian folks are in Arkansas, and I appreciate, and she was meaning it as a compliment to our church and the people here, and I appreciated that. The opportunities that God gives us, 3 things are necessary for opportunity. Right there in your outline it says this: God must open the door, you must be allotted a time by God, and God must give you the ability or strength to accomplish the opportunity. Now, let me just talk about this for just a second, because it says, I didn't read my whole text because we'll deal with it, but the main verse of Galatians 6, it says in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Now, I might have missed a word because I wasn't reading, I was just coding it. As we have therefore opportunity. The only opportunities you've ever had in your life are given to you by God. Matter of fact, the opportunity for you to be saved was given to you by who? By God. The opportunity for you to marry whom you are married to, or whom you were married to, if you're a widower or a widow, that guess who gave you your spouse? God did. Some of you, and I've preached on this before, made mistakes early in your life, and you went through a divorce. But now you're married. Guess who gave you the opportunity for a second chance, if you will? Who is the God of a second chance? God is the God of a second chance. He is. Matter of fact, our first chance, Adam messed it all up. He did. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam messed all of our first opportunities up. Guess who gave us a second chance? God did. Through His Son. So, again, our text says these things. Number one, God gives us the opportunity. God opens the door for an opportunity. God gives you the strength to do that. God gives you the means by which to accomplish it. And you say, well, you know, I worked hard all my life, and everything I've got, I earned it. I've worked for it. I've done a bunch of good stuff. I went to college. I went to school. Right out of high school, I got to go to the co-op or to the mill. And you know, a lot of people have worked some jobs around here at Ashley County. And you worked hard, and you built a house, and you've done great things, and you built up something to supplement your retirement. And praise God for the ability and health and breath in my lungs. But guess who gave me the breath in my lungs? God did. Opportunity. If you're saved this morning, God wants to give you an opportunity to serve Him. What are you going to do with the rest of your saved life? Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell everyone in here in this room that I've got a confession to make to you this morning. Maybe even I need to apologize, because I apologize. I don't want to ever hurt anybody's feelings, but I'll tell you the truth. And that is, I've been talking about you behind your back. I have been. You know what I've told? We had the worship session, and I said, of all the church members in Promised Land, we have very few church members who are committed to the Lord. I'm sorry, I was talking. If I was talking about you. But I told them. But listen to this. All these green-shirted people over here, I don't know how committed they are. Some of you evidence your commitment by your... The Bible says you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. It's your choice on what you do with your opportunities given to you by God. It says in our text, in verse 1, if we have people in our church that mess up, and if you are a committed Christian, it says you are spiritual. I'm going to boil it down in everyday country language. If you are a solid, committed Christian, you need to help them out and encourage them. But listen to me. Since you're presently here, coming to church doesn't make you any more of a Christian than if you stood in your garage and said you were a car. Okay? I've heard that's not original with me. I read that somewhere. But that's true. If you just stand in the garage, it doesn't make you a car.
So if you come and stand in this sanctuary, does it make you a Christian? It doesn't. And you know what? I'm trying to challenge you. I'm not trying to use any fancy reverse psychology on you or anything like that, saying, well, y'all just need to get committed and y'all come to church and I need you to commit. But it's your choice. It's kind of like, did you know, I can shove, now listen to this. Caleb Reese over there hates string beans. But you know what? I am big enough and I am strong enough that I could literally, he probably say I couldn't, but I could literally hold his mouth open and shove string beans down his throat because I'm big enough to do it. But did you know what? If I want Caleb to willingly, one time, y'all remember that show, some of you remember watching it, Fear Factor? You know, evidently fear is not a factor for you. We tried to get him to eat string beans just by using the Fear Factor technique. Come on, come on. He's like, and that was one string bean, and that's what it looked like. And but if I want him to just eat string beans, and I don't want to break his jaw and bend the fork and do all that, maybe even mulch them down and give it to him through an IV. I could do that, you know, give him string beans through an IV or something. It has to be his choice. What is that old saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It all comes down to your choice. You have, what does some people call America? The land of opportunity. You know why? We have freedom. And we have freedom of religion. We have opportunity. So basically, it comes down to this. Before I move on to the next part, I want to say this. All of you have opportunity to either live for Jesus or you don't. I don't know how you, and matter of fact, most of you, I don't want to know how you behave outside of church. I don't want to know how you talk outside of church. I hope it's for the Lord. I hope you behave for the Lord. I hope you serve the Lord. I hope you love the Lord. And I hope you live for the Lord. But it's your choice. It's what you want to do. It goes on to say, and he said, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's John 13:34. The Bible says this, that you fulfill the law of Christ by loving one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed, that you have love one toward another. Moses had the Ten Commandments. Jesus fulfilled all the law. And matter of fact, Jesus looked at his church who was made up of his disciples. And you know what he said? Moses had 613 of them, but I'm going to add one more. Matter of fact, this is the way he phrased it. A new commandment I give unto you, that you have love one toward another. By this, by what? By the way you behave, shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed. Let's continue reading. It says this, now this is a fellow who's supposedly a Christian, and you're supposedly, and that's what I call it, the opportunity to seize ourselves. Because most of us, have you ever stuck your foot inside your mouth? Matter of fact, most of you have. Some of you have inserted your whole leg in your mouth, okay? And choked on it. Said something you shouldn't have said. Done something you shouldn't have done. This is where we go with this. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And notice it says that for every man shall bear his own burden. Well, that sounds very contradictory to verse 2. And I went ahead so you would know and have it in written form. I put it in your outline. And it says there's no contradiction in verse 5. In verse 2, it's talking about a heavy burden. And in verse 5, it's talking about a soldier's pack. But if you do a word study on it, and it's what it's talking about. A heavy burden. Something that you've messed up in. A soldier's pack is your responsibility. Given to you by God. Once you get saved, God wants you to serve Him. We've got some army and veterans in here. There are some things you're supposed to put in your backpack, grab your M16 up, get your flak jacket on, and go to battle, go to war, and do what your commanding officer tells you to do. Who is our commanding officer? Every man shall bear his own. You're supposed to be responsible for yourself. And what verses 3 and 4 is referring to, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, and it says, let every man prove his own work, which means this, you're responsible for you. Don't you be looking at anyone else and tearing them down, saying, God, what about them? Because, you know, most of the time when you point your finger at others, I'm not referring to the three fingers pointing back at you. You know why we look at other people? To try to make ourselves look better. Every man, that's why it says, every man, you're responsible for you. That's why it says in verse 5, everyone shall bear his own burden. You're responsible for your backpack, which means the stuff you're supposed to be taking care of. God gives you. What did God give you? Did God give you a family? Take care of them. Did God give you a spouse? Take care of them. Did God give you a job? Take care of it. Did God give you a testimony? Some of you might have hurt your testimony. Let me go ahead and say this. We talked about this, some of our youth leaders. There's a lot of people that think, well, you know, I've never done anything bad, so I don't have a testimony. It's kind of like that fellow one time who said, yeah, I used to drink a fifth of whiskey every night, had woman under each arm, and just had all the women I could ever want, did drugs, got drunk every night, did this, and then when I turned 7 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord. Did y'all get that? That's a testimony if you did all that for you at seven. Well, the best testimony in the world is to say, well, my parents, or even if you're from a broken home like I was, my mom took me to church, I heard about Jesus, got under conviction, and got saved. And I've never been drunk, and I've never had any drugs, and as God is my witness standing here in this room, I've never had sex with any woman besides my wife in my whole life. I tell you honest, straight up. I'm sorry, folks, you have a boring pastor. I don't have a testimony. I just got saved. I did come from a broken home. That's about as exciting as I can get. I've had surgery. Does that count? You know, I don't know. I'm sorry I chose Jesus. You see what I mean? A lot of times we point at others and say, every man shall bear his own burden. And I could preach a whole nother, and I'm not going to. Y'all know I was kidding about the hour and a half. I'm just going to go an hour. But I could, this next part where it talks about sowing and reaping, be patient. Y'all are doing great. I thank y'all. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Interesting that he puts this in this context, how you treat other people. And how you're doing your right things with your opportunity. It says this, for he that soweth to the flesh, power, verse 8 and 9 is awesome. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of, who do you like to read after? Do you, any of you read? What TV shows do you watch? Do you ever read the Bible? How's your prayer life? If you sow to the flesh, are you going to sow to the Spirit? It's like one preacher said, I don't know who said it, I just read this too. You know what it said? It said this. Once you get saved, you have, it's like having two dogs living inside of you. Whoever wins is which dog you say sick 'em to. You got the saved part of you and you got your flesh. What does it say? He that sows to the flesh. That means you say sick 'em to gossip or cussing or acting like an idiot or talking about other people. It's okay to drink every now and then. It's okay to go to the boats every now and then because life is about fulfilling what I want to do. It's about me. You either sow to the flesh, you reap that. I'm not even going to tell you. If you don't have your Bible open, the Ladies Auxiliary and some bunch of other people provided Bibles all over our church. You have no excuse not to read the Bible. Matter of fact, if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. Promised Land Church will give you a Bible if you don't have one. Okay? See me after church, I'll hand you a Bible. Okay? Then it goes on to say, and let us not be weary in well-doing. In other words, don't give up. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You want some good food for thought? Some of you will munch on this like a good chicken fried steak. You ready? Look at this. You know what? Verse 9, the word season is the same original Greek word for the word opportunity in verse 10. That's pretty cool. God gives you an opportunity. So, young folks over here, all of you listening to me, if you're saved, and I pray, and I say that if because, Brother Michael, I can't look into any of your hearts. I don't know if you're saved or not. You know, the only thing I see is the way you live. That's all I know. The way you live tells me whether or not you care about Jesus. That's all the Bible said. You'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. That's all it says. If you never act like a Christian, I say, probably not. You come to church, but I don't care. If you never act like a Christian, you're not saved, probably. I have to put that in there, because why? Because Brother Michael can't see the heart. But if you never act that way, you're probably not saved because you don't care about the Lord. You say you do, but if you say, you know, saying one thing, hey, I love you, but if you slap them around, you're probably not. And that's the way we do the Lord sometimes. So after you get saved, you have opportunity to serve the Lord or not. It's your choice. I've preached that and preached that. And it's time for the invitation. I want to ask Brother Josh to come prepare for an invitation to him. I want everyone to stand quietly, quietly stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I ask, as we have this opportunity this morning, there's somebody here that, if it's just one person in our service this morning that needs to get things right with you, if this whole service has been for one, it's been worth it all. If there's just one person that could get saved today, today is the day of opportunity. Today is the time, Father, that you would lead us to do the right thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause no one else could take your place. I feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way and bring me back to you. And you're all I want. And you're all I've ever needed. And you're all I want. Help me know you. And draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. And help me find the way and bring me back to you. And you're all I want. And you're all I've ever needed. And you're all